VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today here on VCY America for a news roundup day. And I tell you, Sandy has been busy all week gathering and writing stories for us. And we have got a lot of paper here before us today as we share with you perhaps a number of stories that mainstream media is not covering or giving you another perspective on issues that are taking place today. So much is being stifled, so much speech being stifled now on YouTube and social media, and we see a huge cancel culture, cancel science, cancel medicine on so many different fronts as well, address a number of moral-related issues today on the program. So we trust you'll be able to stay tuned as we equip ourselves and see the urgency of being salt and light in this time in which we live. We're going to begin with a story that came from WND.com here, contradicting the claims of Dr. Fauci and the FDA. A study by the prestigious Cleveland Clinic concluded that there is no need to vaccinate people who have been infected with the virus that causes COVID-19. The study found that individuals with previous SARS-CoV-2 infection do not get additional benefit from vaccination. The finding aligned with a study published last month by researchers at the Washington University School of Medicine, concluding that even milder asymptomatic cases of COVID-19 can produce lasting immunity. You'll find the story at WND.com. Dr. Robert Malone, ever hear of him before? He is the inventor of the mRNA vaccines. And WND.com also picked up a story by him earlier this week, a tweet he sent out on June 12th. And here he is. He is the inventor of mRNA vaccines. And he tweeted out this: what happens to confidence in public health and USG if ivermectin turns out to be safe and effective for COVID and the genetic vaccines turn out to have significant safety issues? This looks like a very plausible scenario from where I sit. Isn't that amazing? That's the inventor of mRNA. In a separate tweet, he went further, saying, regarding post-COVID genetic vaccine syndromes, I know they happen, do not know how severe or frequent. I argue for data transparency, a data science-based medicine, honesty, transparency, bioethics, not conspiracy. Now, some months ago, we had aired a clip of Dr. Corey, Dr. Pierre Corey, K-O-R-Y, as he was on staff at St. Luke's Hospital out of the Milwaukee area. Dr. Pierre Corey, now the chief medical officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance, has called the U.S. government's decision to grant $1.2 billion to develop a drug to combat COVID-19 a, quote, colossal waste of taxpayer money for a drug we don't need, especially since ivermectin works so well. This month, the U.S. government agreed to give $1.2 billion of taxpayer money to the pharmaceutical drug company Merck to develop another drug to combat COVID-19 symptoms. Corey publicly condemned the decision, arguing that it's a waste of funds, considering that already available drugs have been proved to cure patients suffering from COVID-19. Here is what he had to say in a statement. Dr. Pierre Corey.
As one of the world experts in the use of ivermectin for COVID-19, I feel compelled today to make a statement. And that statement is in response to the recent announcement by the U.S. government that they're entering into a contractual agreement with Merck where they're going to commit $1.2 billion of taxpayer money in order to enrich Merck for a drug which has already been the source of a whistleblower complaint and which has already failed in hospitalized patients. They are now testing it in outpatients when we already have a drug which is low cost, safe, widely available, which has been proven to work in many phases of the disease, not only as outpatients, but inpatients. And so to do so while we now currently have five published review papers from independent panels from across the world showing how effective ivermectin is, we have over 20 randomized controlled trials showing large statistically significant benefits in mortality. And yet we plan on giving money to a drug company for a drug that is in no way going to surpass what we already have available right now and can use. That money should instead be given to supply ivermectin to the country. This is a colossal waste of taxpayer money. We know this drug works. We're seeing it work around the world. We now have evidence from multiple countries who've adopted it into their guidelines. What happened in Mexico is they emptied their hospitals, and they've essentially rid the country of COVID using ivermectin. We just got a report from Argentina where their program is showing large reductions in the need for hospitalization, and the crisis in India in a number of states was turned back with widespread use of ivermectin. We should not be spending or giving any more money to a drug company who has behaved in the way that it has around ivermectin. I need to call attention to how disturbed I am at Merck's actions on February 5th, where they issued a statement that there was no evidence to support the efficacy of ivermectin. They even called into question the safety of one of the safest drugs known in history. That statement was a lie. That was a lie, and it's hurting patients, and it's caused an incalculable loss of life. And to let that go unanswered is unacceptable. And to commit money to a company who behaves in this way is ridiculous. They should instead be saddled with a colossal fine. We cannot sit by and let our government do this. If they fulfill this, it will be a staggering waste of time and money, and it continues to ignore the widespread availability of ivermectin. It has to stop. The U.S. government has to be smarter in how they combat this pandemic. We already have another tool that we know that can end it, and that drug is ivermectin.
That's Dr. Pierre Corey, who is Frontline's Chief Medical Officer of the Frontline COVID-19 Critical Care Alliance. Well, a group of parents in Gainesville, Florida, reports the RationalGround.com, sent their children's face masks, six face masks, to a lab in the University of Florida requesting an analysis of contaminants found on the mask after they had been worn. The resulting report found that five masks were contaminated with bacteria, parasites, and fungi, including three with dangerous pathogenic and pneumonia-causing bacteria. Although the test is capable of detecting viruses, including SARS-CoV-2, only one virus was found on one mask. Half of the masks were contaminated with one or more strains of pneumonia-causing bacteria. One-third were contaminated with one or more strains of meningitis-causing bacteria. One-third were contaminated with dangerous antibiotic-resistant bacterial pathogens. Also coming to us from WND.com, a federal judge in Texas dismissed a lawsuit by 117 hospital employees seeking to block their employer's COVID-19 mandate, but their attorney plans to take the case all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. The employees of Houston Methodist Hospital argue that they effectively are being forced to participate in a human drug trial because of the COVID-19 vaccines that are allowed only under emergency use authorization. By the way, the trials for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine, is the completion date of that trial is January 31st, 2023. Okay, it is under emergency use authorization. Okay, it doesn't have final approval, and so the employee is saying we don't want to be part of a test. But the U.S. District Judge Lynn Hughes ruled that firing employees for refusing to take the shot would not amount to wrongful termination. Bridges said that she's being forced to be injected with the vaccine or be fired. This is not coercion, the judge said in her four-page opinion, referring to the lead plaintiff, Jennifer Bridges. Methodist is seeking, or is trying to do their business of saving lives without giving them the COVID-19 virus, Hugh said. Bridges can freely choose to accept or refuse a COVID-19 vaccine. However, if she refuses, she will simply need to work somewhere else. The judge reasoned that part of the bargain an employee makes in exchange for pay is agreeing to certain requirements and restrictions on the part of the employer. Washington Examiner tells us the Arizona governor signed an executive order Tuesday prohibiting universities in his state from requiring students to vaccinate themselves against COVID or wear masks while on campus. The governor said the vaccine is a choice. We need to keep it that way, to keep it a choice. Centers for Disease Control reported, updated report on June the 14th this week, that as of June 14th, the vaccination, this is the adverse effects reporting system, they've received 511 reports of myocarditis and pericarditis among people ages 30 and younger who received COVID-19 vaccine. Most cases have been reported after mRNA COVID-19 vaccination, Pfizer, BioNTech, and Moderna, particularly in male adolescents and young adults. Through follow-up, including medical record reviews, CDC and FDA have confirmed 323 reports of myocarditis or pericarditis. CDC and its partners are investigating these reports to assess whether there is a relationship to COVID-19 vaccination. That's a quote from the CDC. They're also reporting through June 14th that they have received reports of death now amounting to 5,343 among people who received the COVID-19 vaccine. From LifeSiteNews.com. A U.S. government compensation program that would provide payouts to people who've been injured or lost loved ones from experimental COVID vaccines include a board with an unknown number of anonymous members who have not awarded a penny to a single victim among hundreds of applicants to date. Currently, 869 people are awaiting decisions from the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, which was set up to compensate people who have been injured by fast-tracked and experimental countermeasures, including vaccines and other drugs. Because pharmaceutical companies have immunity from lawsuits, CICP exists to offer payouts for lost wages and medical expenses from vaccine injuries, but the program has paid meager handouts to a handful of applicants among hundreds in the past 10 years and has not adjudicated even one COVID vaccine decision to date. Applicants now only have a year from the date of vaccination to apply for the benefits and may wait months and months for a decision, which is not published. So if the public does not know who is granted or refused benefits or why, and by the way, the decisions cannot be appealed. Do you know that there is a cottage industry growing for fake COVID-19 vaccination cards? They're selling these fake cards now on Amazon. Reportedly available on numerous other websites as well for those who are saying you have to have a vaccine passport. And now they have people that are manufacturing false vaccine passports. Let's see. From the vaccine reaction, the government of Italy has suspended the AstraZeneca COVID-19 shot for people under 60 years of age in the country. The decision announced June 11th follows the recent death of an 18-year-old who died of a cerebral due to a blood clot 16 days after receiving the first dose. This is the second suspension of the vaccine in the country during the past 4 months due to safety concerns. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to pick up with the Supreme Court decision that came out this week on Obamacare. We'll also be taking a look at a Supreme Court decision also that came out regarding a Catholic foster agency. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, creation seminar speaker at the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, any evidence for creation from the solar system?
Yes, there are, Chris. In fact, quite a few. One of the ICR physicists, Dr. Russ Humphreys, made a prediction a few years ago before the exploration of Jupiter by satellite. He had developed a theory of the magnetic field of planets in the solar system based on the Bible. And the satellite found the evidence fit his model and not the evolutionary model of long ages. In particular, Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, has an Earth-like magnetic field, but it's tilted 80 degrees away from the spin axis. This pretty much proves that the magnetic field is not produced by fluid currents in the moon's interior, as is postulated by long-agers for Earth. As a matter of fact, the Earth's dipole magnetic field is decaying so fast, soon it's going to be gone. It couldn't be the result of events millions of years ago, and that's the Back to Genesis truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Back to Genesis.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today, and we'll get to those Supreme Court decisions in just a moment. But folks, as you know, they've been very oppressive in Canada, toward the churches in particular, as we had a pastor from Canada with us here recently on the program experiencing what he went through, and as he called the police, the Gestapo, for coming in. This is Pastor Arthur Pulowski, who was with us here on Crosstalk. But there's been another pastor that has also been arrested, Pastor Tim Stevens, arrested on new charges after he was holding what was called underground church services. He was arrested this past Monday afternoon on new charges after Fairview Baptist Church gathered for underground worship for the second week in a row since their church was effectively seized by the Alberta Health Services last Saturday. Now, keep in mind, folks, when the issue was going on between the Palestinians and Israel, guess what? The Muslim imams had assembled together, holding protests and rallies. Not one was arrested for holding these large meetings going on. Well, Alberta authorities were forced to drop other charges against Pastor Tim last month after discovering that the Alberta Health Services never served Pastor Stevens with the court order that he was accused of having violated, which is a requirement under the order. Well, that effectively ended the case against Pastor Tim, but now he's facing another legal battle, and that is he will be held in prison until June 28th due to his refusal to sign bail conditions that would limit his ability to gather with congregants. Now, friends, I'm going to play for you an audio clip that happened of his arrest. And I want you to hear his children. His children, he's got several young children that are crying as they're taking their dad away in a police vehicle. Rebel News was there and covered the story here. Here it is.
I'm Associate here for Rebel News, and I'm outside of the home of Pastor Tim Stevens. Pastor Tim was once again taken into custody. Numerous police vehicles arrived and put him in a car, taking him away from his families. It was an extremely emotional and harrowing ordeal, and we were there to capture it as it happened. I'm going to let you go now to the footage of his arrest.
Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. And you had that gathering on June the
6th. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what you're under arrest for.
Any avenues for you guys to question orders, or do you always set up full rest? I have told me privately.
Let me know if it gets too hot or whatever.
Bye, Daddy!
No other jurisdiction is imprisoning pastors in
this home. I'm not going to speak to that. Okay?
In Canada.
Okay.
It's only Alberta.
I would say continue the course that you're continuing on. Push further ahead. Push harder if you need to.
This is his wife talking to police officers.
I don't know how far you've gone.
Will you arrest me and take me away from them too?
I have no reason to arrest you, right? So I'm going to leave it at that, okay?
Bye, Daddy.
Bye, guys.
They start the vehicle and haul Daddy away, holding an outdoor underground church service. As you know, they actually flew a police helicopter overhead and spotted them, and then we understand they surrounded the area with police cars, didn't make any arrest on Sunday, but that changed on Monday. From FoxNews.com, the Supreme Court sided unanimously with the Catholic Foster Agency in a dispute against the city of Philadelphia over whether it should be banned from participating in the city's foster program because it excludes same-sex couples. The group Catholic Social Services claimed that Philadelphia attempts to exclude the Catholic Church from foster care violated the First Amendment. Lawyers for the city, meanwhile, said that CSS lacks a constitutional right to demand DHS offer the contract that omits the same non-discrimination requirements every other FFCA must follow when performing services for the city. in a 9-0 ruling. Think about that, folks. A 9-0 ruling. The justices sided with Catholic Social Services. They say they seek only an accommodation that will allow it to continue serving the city of Philadelphia in a manner consistent with its religious beliefs. It does not seek to impose those beliefs on anyone else. Justice Roberts wrote the majority opinion. Matt Staver from Liberty Council responded by saying this. He said the unanimous decision based on the free exercise of religion is a great victory for the religious freedom. Faith-based ministries must remain free to exercise their faith in their respective ministries. Religious freedom says, or rather lays at the foundation of America. The Supreme Court must revisit the 1990 Smith decision, which was not faithful to the First Amendment, and overrule it. Also this week, the Supreme Court, here's a headline from FoxNews.com, Supreme Court upholds Obamacare law, dismissing challenge from red states. The Supreme Court kept the Affordable Care Act alive yesterday in a ruling 7-2 that Texas and 17 other states plus two individuals lack standing to challenge its constitutionality. So folks, there is a false narrative talking about, how Obamacare is constitutional, et cetera. They just decided 7-2 they would not take it because they decided that the people bringing the lawsuit, you don't have standing to bring a suit. They didn't deal with the merits of it at all. Just the fact that they struck it down because they did not believe that the people had standing. States had argued that the law's individual mandate was unconstitutional once it's no longer carried a penalty because it had been justified as falling under the congressional power of taxation. They also claimed that the rest of the law could not survive without the mandate. The court ruled that because the plaintiffs had not demonstrated any past or future harm, they were not in a position to bring the claim. So they didn't make a ruling on the claim, only that the people who brought this, the red states that brought this, didn't have standing, according to their opinion. Well, President Biden, though, celebrated this ruling in favor of Obamacare, promising to expand the law in the future, saying in a statement, today's U.S. Supreme Court decision is a major victory for all Americans befitting from this groundbreaking, life-changing law. It's time to move forward and keep building on this landmark law. By the way, Fox11Online.com is reporting that the CDC has seen a 51% increase in suicide attempts by adolescent girls during the pandemic. A 51% increase. From Conservative Daily News, Governor Greg Abbott signed a law Tuesday banning the government from closing places of worship in Texas. This is Texas HB 1239 prohibits any elected official or appointed officer, employee, or agent of the state from closing a building or grounds where religious activities are conducted. He said, I just signed a law that prohibits any government agency or public official from issuing an order that closes a place of worship. The First Amendment right to freedom of religion shall never be infringed. From LifeSiteNews.com, there's another first from the Biden administration, and that's Democratic Vice President Kamala Harris became the first sitting Vice President of the United States to attend an LGBT pride parade, tweeting a photo of herself and her husband, Doug Emhoff, marching alongside left-wing activists in the nation's capital, saying, quote, we celebrate all of the accomplishments, but we need to pass the Equality Act, Harris declared. We need to make sure that our transgender community and our youth and are all protected. We need still protections around employment and housing. There's so much more work to do, and I know we are committed. The first Vice President of the United States to ever march in an LGBT so-called pride parade. WND.com gives us a stunner this week as well, where a Colorado judge has stunningly ruled that an artist's creations are not speech at all, and the state is allowed to force a baker to violate his own religious beliefs in order to submit to the demands of a transgender activist. The ruling from A. Bruce Jones, a judge in the state's second judicial district, came in a lawsuit brought by Autumn Scardina, a lawyer who was born a man and now lives as a woman. So he demanded a cake from Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop. You'll recognize that because it's been tried once before in the Denver suburban area. And he wanted a pink and blue cake to mark his transition to a woman. Phillips, the baker who earlier was attacked under Colorado's anti-discrimination law for declining to provide a wedding cake for a same-sex duel, declined this. and a judge says the state can force him to violate his beliefs. OneNewsNow.com. The Biden administration states it will defend a federal law exempting Christian universities and schools from being forced to follow anti-discrimination laws on sexual orientation and gender identity. Consequently, a 12-page court filing penned by the Biden Justice Department was filed last week imploring the court to reject schools' request to intervene in the case. Mixed message coming forth there. But not a mixed message to children, as LGBTQNation.com says that the iconic children's show Sesame Street is introducing three new characters, a married homosexual couple and their daughter. Sesame Street has always been a welcoming place of diversity and inclusion, says Ellen Morocco, who plays Alan, posted on Facebook, so I'm excited to introduce Nina's brother Dave, his husband Frank, and their daughter Mia to our sunny street. Let's take a look at some other stories taking place here today. Yes, Senator Manchin is proposing changes to the federal voting overhaul bill, calling it equally unacceptable. Overhauling how America votes became a top priority when Democrats gained control of the Senate. Next week, the Senate is set to take up the House bill H.R. 1, For the People Act, a bill that completely overhauls federal voting laws. Now all eyes are on the moderate Senator Joe Manchin, who won't back the bill unless changes are made. Chuck Schumer stressed this week that the bill is a top priority for the Senate. Just watch what changes will be made on this in order to get Manchin's vote. And friends, there is so much riding on this, even as Nancy Pelosi has talked about the need to pass this, legislation, H.R. 1, in order to stop gun violence. She knows that this is going to produce getting more of her party elected to office. She had this to say yesterday.
Today again also marks 6 years since the racist attack on Mother Emanuel Church in Charleston. This all comes down to the gun violence issue. And as we keep saying, we are not going away until we pass legislation to stop gun violence. And we will have a better chance to do it if we pass H.R. 1.
Hear that?
Clearly, the Republicans in Congress are handmaidens of the gun industry, and they have prevented us from passing. And although it's bipartisan, it's not enough for us to pass it in the Senate. So, again, the For the People Act is really important for many reasons, including the personal safety of America's families and children.
You know, it's very amazing indeed, isn't it? That this is necessary in order for them to pass gun restriction laws to attack the Second Amendment. We have to get H.R. 1 passed. That's her perspective. She knows what H.R. 1 is going to do. And folks, right now the Senate is slated to take up this legislation, H.R. 1/S1, to vote on it next week in the Senate chamber. Again, we remind you, your contact to your senators is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. More news after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
The film, Unidentified, tells the story of two reporters tasked with getting the answers to the claims of UFO sightings. One reporter is an antagonist toward Christianity, the other, a Christian who is challenged on his beliefs.
I'm asking an honest question here, and according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life, so either you've done it or you haven't, so which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith, heaven or hell? Answer the question, heaven or hell?
I don't know.
But I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Be challenged by the Rich Cristiano film, Unidentified. Available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. For your copies of Unidentified, call 1-800-729-9829.
is your roundup day here today on Crosstalk. We thank you for listening in and trust you'll tell others about Crosstalk and the information you gather here on the program. So many things are just totally amazing. You know, the G7 that happened this past week, and I'm going to be playing a couple clips for you from President Biden. For instance, a reporter asked President Biden if he thinks Putin is a killer, and he laughed, and then awkwardly he stood in complete silence, what seemed to many like an eternity. And I want you to hear it. I'm going to play it in real time, but there's going to be a long pause. That doesn't mean that the audio is going out. The president's just completely quiet before he starts speaking again. And some wonder, is somebody talking to him in an earpiece for him to get information as to what to say? Well, here's exactly how it went.
In a weekend interview, Vladimir Putin laughed at the suggestion that you had called him a killer. Is that still your belief, sir, that he is a killer? And I'll continue the trend, if you don't mind, of asking a second question. Do you believe if he does agree to cooperate, then what kind of a challenge do you find yourself in? How would you ever trust him? And if Ronald Reagan said trust but verify, what do you say to Vladimir Putin?
To answer the first question, I'm laughing too. He has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look, when I was asked that question on air, I answered it honestly. But it's not much of a, I don't think it matters a whole lot in terms of this next meeting we're about to have.
Awkward silencer, wasn't it? Very interesting. Also, then after that meeting, this is how he began his press conference. Let's try and get the right button here, and here we go.
I'll take your questions, and as usual, folks, they gave me a list of the people I'm going to call on. So, Jonathan, Associated Press.
Okay, so he admitted there, and some are calling this a gaffe, that he admits that his staff gave him a list of who to call on. This is then following his meeting with the president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, as that meeting took place in Geneva, Switzerland. But the precast reporters, precast questions that are taking place there. The Police Tribune reporting that all members of the Portland Police Bureau's rapid response team unanimously voted to resign from the team on Wednesday, according to the department. As a result, the agency will no longer have a rapid response team, which has been the primary unit handling the violent uprisings that have erupted on a regular basis in downtown Portland for more than a year now. The team responded to over 100 riots and demonstrations last year alone, KPTV reported. The approximately 50 officers who volunteered have all received advanced training related to crowd management and control. The now former team members are all sworn members of the PPB and will continue serving their regular assignments, according to the press release. But the unanimous vote came one day after the Multnomah County District Attorney, Mike Schmidt, announced the indictment of one of their officers who was one of the voluntary members. As a result, other members said, we're no longer going to do this. Portland Police Department officials recorded 37 homicides this year, a six-fold increase over the same period last year. Well, things going on at the border as well. Former President Donald Trump here, according to Breitbart, announced he accepted an invite to visit the nation's decimated southern border with the Texas Governor Greg Abbott and an official visit before Vice President Kamala Harris had made any plans to visit. Former President Trump will visit on Wednesday, June 30th. The Biden administration inherited from me the strongest, safest, and most secure border in U.S. history, and in mere weeks they turned it into the single worst border crisis in U.S. history, the former president said. He noted that the current administration has made the southern border an unmitigated disaster zone, adding the country has now gone from detain and remove to catch and release. He said what Biden and Harris have done, are continuing to do on our border is a grave and willful dereliction of duty. My visit will hopefully shine a spotlight on these crimes against our nation and show the incredible people of ICE and Border Patrol that they have our unshakable support. The American first legal president, Stephen Miller, who served as a senior advisor to former President Donald Trump, tweeted out that in perhaps it's the most extreme and lawless act yet, he said the Biden administration has just announced a new program to airlift the minor relatives of illegal aliens into the United States from Central America at taxpayer expense. It's chain migration for lawbreakers. And Governor Abbott also announced this week that he's going to build his own border wall. And he said, today we're announcing that Texas will build a border wall in our state to help secure our border, announcing a down payment of some $250 million for that to take place. Well, an investigation has been opened by the state of Georgia, reports WND.com, into documents that were able to have provided the chain of custody, the documentation for ballots from the 2020 presidential election that are missing. Just the News said the Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger confirmed that the review will look into whether the Fulton County violated state rules in losing the ballot documents. New revelations that Fulton County is unable to produce all ballot drop box transfer documents will be investigated thoroughly. And I find it very interesting because they are talking about a report in the Georgia Star revealed this, an elections official admitting that just a few legally required forms documenting chain of custody during the 2020 presidential election are missing. A few legally required forms? Well, a report on Georgia Star News revealed that 385 official transfer forms of an estimated 1,565, I guess my math tells me that's a little better than 20%, have been that are missing, have been present in Fulton County. The total number of absentee ballots whose chain of custody was purportedly documented in these 385 missing Fulton County absentee ballot transfers was 18,901, more than 6,000 votes greater than the less than 12,000 vote margin of Biden's confirmed victory in the Senate. So they don't have record on this chain of custody of some 18,900 ballots. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that that's coming forth in the news now? And yes, we have to launch an investigation as to what happens. By the way, we understand Governor Newsom is trying to change the rules of recall in the state, allowing him to set up the date of the recall. Speaking of California, they're offering now $100 million to rescue its struggling legal marijuana industry, reports the LA Times. The California legislature Monday approved a $100 million plan to bolster California's legal marijuana industry, which continues to struggle to compete with the large illicit pot market nearly 5 years after voters approved sales for recreational use. A bailout, folks, $100 million to the pot industry. A new prime minister for Israel as well, as for the first time in 12 years, Benjamin Netanyahu, no longer prime minister. That ended Sunday. The new Prime Minister Bennett, Netanyahu, used his final speech in front of the Knesset Sunday to vow a swift return to office, attack his replacement, and call out the Biden administration's effort to revive the nuke deal with Iran. He fell one vote short. The vote came 60-59. And what's interesting, the former Prime Minister talks about how he's concerned about the weakness of power by the one coming in now to replace him, noting that the leadership, under his leadership, Israel fought with determination against Iran's attempts to acquire nuclear weapons. Even if I had to stand alone, completely alone against the whole world and many in Israel, the determination affected the previous American administration to leave the dangerous nuclear deal. Netanyahu said dealing with Iran is the single greatest challenge Israel is facing going forward. He said he was told by the Biden administration not to mention the Iran deal, but he said that he had to do it. By the way, a new study released this week by, trying to find the origins of this. It's called The Change of the Guard, Young Evangelicals in Israeli-Palestinian Dispute. Shows from 2018 to 2021 that the rate of evangelical young adult support for Israel dropped from 69% to 33.6%. This is a report on CBN News. It was conducted a study by Dr. Mahdi Inbari and Dr. Kirill Buman of the University of North Carolina. So significant support for Israel dropping among those considered evangelical youth. President Biden has finally picked an ambassador for Israel, but come to find out, it's been one who has backed the Muslim Brotherhood previously and also has cursed at Israeli officials. The White House announced the nomination of Thomas Nides on Tuesday as the U.S. ambassador to Israel. He has to make it through the Senate confirmation hearing, and although he's a lesser-known figure than other previous ambassadors, right now it doesn't seem like there's any significant opposition expected, reports Israel 365. I also want you to hear another audio clip here today of Nancy Pelosi. As she was asked, there is a big effort to kill the innocent by means of abortion. Expand abortion taking place here across this nation. And she was asked by a reporter, I believe from CNS News, to answer the question, is a 15-week-old unborn baby a human being? Here's what she had to say.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm with CNS News. The Supreme Court this fall will review a Mississippi law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy. Is an unborn baby at 15 weeks a human being?
Let me just say that I am a big supporter of Roe v. Wade. I am a mother of 5 children in 6 years. I think I have some standing on this issue as to respecting a woman's right to choose.
Is it a human being?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, let's move on there. Let's move on. Is it a human being, the reporter was asking. She refused to answer. I'm a mom. I've had, you know, a number of children, so I have standing on this. Refused to answer whether a 15-week-old unborn baby is a human being. Story from WND.com. The Biden administration is pushing a misguided 21% global corporate minimum tax on American businesses. At the same time, the administration pushing for global agreement against foreign countries to set a minimum, a foreign minimum tax rate of some 15%, putting U.S. taxes in essence under global control. Friends, I'd like to open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. I've got stories that will take us another half hour or so. We're not going to have time for those, but we'd like to invite you to weigh in on these or current news event stories. Maybe you want to comment about those children crying out as their daddy pastor was taken away by police in Alberta, Canada. Maybe you want to comment on some of the other stories that we've talked about here today as well. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, CBN News reporting that the Biden administration's suspension of new oil and gas leases on federal land and water, blocked Tuesday by a federal judge in Louisiana who ordered that plans continue for lease sales that were delayed for the Gulf of Mexico and all eligible onshore properties. This is a blow to Joe Biden's efforts to rapidly transition the nation away from fossil fuels and thereby stave off the worst effects of climate change, including catastrophic droughts, floods, and wildfires. Let's take our break. We'll come back to your phone calls here on Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, our number, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Last week, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear a case brought by a men's group claiming that the National Selective Service registration for men is discriminatory because it doesn't also apply to women. The Supreme Court refused to hear the case, and Justice Sotomayor said that she was glad the Supreme Court did not hear the case because she said Congress may very well soon be making a ruling related to women having to sign up for Selective Service. Well, of course they are going to make that ruling, because we've been warning about that for years, particularly after a commission was established by John McCain and President Barack Hussein Obama in 2017. In 2018, I began to warn extensively about this national commission. Well, their report came out in March of 2020. Well, here we are now in June of 2021. And you can bet Congress is going to make women sign up for the Selective Service, just as Justice Sotomayor said Congress would probably do. Well, we warned you, and this is the feminization of our U.S. military.
By the way, the reporter who broke the news story about Bill Clinton's secret tarmac meeting, remember that with Loretta Lynch, the attorney general at that time? Well, the reporter who broke that story now is dead, found dead in Hoover, Alabama. The police lieutenant there is saying that the death is being investigated as a suicide. Let's go to the phone lines to our friend Courtney in Miami, Florida. Hi, Courtney. You're on the air.
God bless all you saints, and got some very good news for y'all. That a sister, a mother, he started a class of women about how they should need to be trained, preaching Jesus Christ. She's a teacher, not an elder, a teacher in the woman's place.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, 8 people got saved at their first meeting.
Praise the Lord.
And she works for the government, and it's on the government time that she's teaching them at their lunch break.
Mm.
That's what makes it so amazing. Nothing can stop God's word.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to give you one chapter right fast for you saints that's out there witnessing, and for y'all that don't witness, you can be at home praying for those God's sending out there. And it's Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Hmm.
And go all the way to the 13th chapter, verse on there. But I just wanted to leave that with you because I want other people to speak. And one thing, I was reading Noah, and one first chapter, I read the first verse, it says, and God remembered Noah.
Yeah.
Remember, saints, God remembers you. Perseverance is what it takes. God bless you all now.
And
parents, watch out for your children. That devil's out there.
Yeah.
God bless you now.
Thanks, Courtney, for the call. Mark in Monroe, you're on the air.
Yes, my comment is the Putin-Biden G7 meeting was, in my opinion, nothing more than a global media attempt to sway the world to ignore, and again, this is what I believe, Biden, incognizant state of mind, and pretend that he's actually presidential. I just see Putin sitting there just totally just in his chess-like mind, just totally saying in his own way, thank you very much for playing into my hand. You know, to me, it's just mind-boggling. I don't even think Biden falls into Obama's JV qualifications that he mentioned some years ago. That's my comment.
Okay, Mark, thank you for your thoughts here today. And yeah, many are really questioning. There were many snafus that happened. Of course, the media, the mainstream media, is not reporting those. They're not showing them. But very interesting indeed. We need to pray for our president, don't we? The Bible tells us to do so. And be praying for all our elected officials that they come to faith in Jesus Christ in particular. Tom in Port Wayne, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Well, Jim, my comment is this. Last night, public radio, liberal public radio, and liberal Vanity Fair talked about the Wuhan virus leak. Now, if I had posted on my Twitter account just a few weeks ago the things that they said, I would have been banished from Twitter.
Yeah.
When is it going to happen that a real reporter will go and ask this commission that took President Trump off of Twitter those very same questions? How is it wrong one week and right the next week to publish something? Somebody must have gotten something wrong,
Tom,
correct?
Yeah, they just banned Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin because of a YouTube, because he referred to hydroxychloroquine as being something to battle the COVID-19. Now, there are doctors who have attested to this and the impact hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin is having on there. But, yeah, he's pulled from YouTube, banished for a week because of that.
Yes. And can't we get a reporter to actually ask that commission, that Twitter commission, what exactly happened over the last couple of weeks, that all of a sudden you can post things on Twitter that were just previously censored?
Thank you, Tom.
I want to know.
Great question. Let's go to Donald in DeForest. You're on the air.
Yeah, good afternoon. A few days ago, I was listening to SRN News, and one particular article that really got my attention was about a federal judge in Texas that dismissed a case against some 177 hospital workers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did look up that article on the SRN News website. Well, I got to find, you know, a few trivial details to suggest that the judge had zero regard for the FDA's Emergency Use Authorization Act. So if you want to look at that article,
I just shared an article earlier on the program today on that very case.
Okay. So do you think they also take it up with Matt Staver during the coming week?
No, Matt Staver will not be on the coming week here, not on Crosstalk anyways, but thank you, Donald. Jerry in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Is it there?
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. All the stuff that's happened, it really shouldn't be no surprise to true Christians that study their Bible, because this is all prophesized in the Bible, you know, but the stuff that's happened now with the gay rights and stuff, you know, and, you know, being persecuted because of Jesus' name, you know. And also that what they call global warming, that's even prophesied, because it's not going to happen in a blink of an eye. It's going to happen little by little. Like I was watching on the weather the other day, we were talking about the globe is even starting to moved 4 degrees, more closer up and down.
Let me just say this. Scripture tells us that day and night, summer, winter, it's not going to cease. Jerry, it's not going to cease. God has this creation under control. We see cycles that are happening all the time. Some will say, oh, look at it. It's the second hottest summer, the third. Well, that means it's been hotter before. Thank you for the call. Brad, West Dallas, we've got, about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Hey, Brother Jim. You're right to bring up praying for our leaders, for their protection and salvation, and to do good.
Yeah.
However, we must also be able to pray against them if they do evil continuously.
Yeah.
Consequences come from that, and that I'd like those consequential hammers to come down on them instead of America.
Thank you, Brad. Appreciate the comments here today. Friends, a lot going on, much to be in prayer for our nation. Make sure that you are being salt, that you are being a light. I trust you'll be in a Bible-preaching church this coming Lord's Day. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.